Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
It's John and Lance.
Do you have any, is there any intelligence out there at all?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. Astros in action today. Aaron Geddy on the mound. We got a 5:40 game today. I like the early games. And we got Aaron Geddy against Martinez. Tomorrow, a 12:10 game. Hunter Brown against the Lauder. So, let's go. Do you know the last time the Astros beat Cincinnati?
When? What kind of
question
is this?
I want to say that it's the 2019 is what I heard.
Beat Cincinnati in Cincinnati?
Beat Cincinnati.
What? That can't be true.
Well,
the team that always goes to the ALCS?
Now, there was a time when we didn't play everybody. Remember that? So, And apparently, we have a really hard time with Cincinnati. I thought this would be a tough series, but not. I don't want to get swept there. We do have our two of our aces in Aaron Geddy and Hunter Brown on the mound, so that's nice. We lost straight to them last year.
2019, they were 0-3. 2023, 0-3. And this year, they're 0-1. The year before, they were 2-1. So they have lost seven consecutive games.
Yeah. So. We got
and before that they were, and then they were 0-3 in 2013. So, you know, not that that matters. That was a terrible team. But since 2019, yeah, they're 0-7 against the Reds.
2019, we gotta end that today. Uh-huh. Spencer Arrighetti, we got our ace on the mound. So
they got swept at home last year. They got swept on the road.
I don't know
the year
who,
before.
Well, Fromber's our ace, I guess. Fromber's our ace. Hunter's second. Kikuchi or Arrighetti, you trust more right now?
That's a great question. I think Kikuchi, but I don't know why necessarily. Kikuchi hasn't really had a bad start.
No. Arrighetti has been really good for over a month now.
Yeah.
Kikuchi has been really good. I guess it would be Kikuchi because of his experience. And Arrighetti, you know what? You know what's really cool? Taylor Scott had never pitched more than 17 and two-thirds innings in a season. He's showing it now.
Yeah,
Arrighetti has never pitched this much.
He looks stronger than ever.
And he looks better than ever.
Yeah. So Kikuchi, as an Astro, I'm only looking as an Astro on Baseball Reference. He is 3-0. His ERA is 2.57. And this is not the same. But you remember when everyone was freaking out about getting Kikuchi? I never worried one single bit. I was for the move. I said, get rid of Loperfido. Get rid of all of them.
Did you hear that?
Get rid of all of them.
Yeah.
I don't want any of these bums on my team.
Yeah, I know. You were squarely behind us. Go ahead.
Yes. And, but do you remember, and once again, it's not the same, but do you remember how bad Randy Johnson was with Seattle? But no one freaked out about that because it's Randy Johnson.
Yeah.
And Randy Johnson came in and was dominant, which made us think, was this guy just trying to be crappy?
I think he
was.
I really think he was.
Was he trying to be awful? Or was he just bored? Or what was
it? He just wanted out.
God, he was not good. He was like a mid-fours ERA with Seattle that year.
Yeah.
Kikuchi is a 4.75 with Toronto. He's come over to Houston. He's been a 2.57, and his strikeouts per nine is 12. It's higher than it's been in his entire career.
Well,
he's never had a 12.1. Now, it's a shorter sample size, granted, but his hits per nine and his strikeouts per nine have never been better than what he's doing with the Astros.
Yeah.
His whip has never been below 1.2 ever, and it's 0.9 right now. So this is as good a Kikuchi as there's ever been. So are we going to see a regression to the mean? Like this Kikuchi has never existed for a full season anywhere he's pitched ever. Are we seeing something that is not sustainable?
No.
Remember, this is all we know is what we've seen.
So, sometimes guys come, like Gerrit Cole changed forever when he came here. Maybe Kikuchi has changed. Gerrit
Cole was better than Kikuchi, though.
Yeah. Well, right. Well, Gerrit Cole in Pittsburgh, they traded him for a reason. He wasn't that great. He came here and he became great. They taught him something.
He was also, I don't think it was because he wasn't that great. They had to trade him because he was about to get paid.
They traded him well before he was going to get paid. Well, he wasn't on the last year of his deal. He had a year and a half to go.
Yeah, but that's still, you get more whenever you give guys up earlier.
Yeah, but Gerrit Cole, well, listen, I'm telling you, there's a difference when you come here. You learn something.
I mean, Gerrit Cole started off as a 3.22, a 3.65, a 2.60, a 3.88. I mean, this is all Pittsburgh. 10-7, 11-5, 19-8. He just had that. Then he was 7-10.
I'm not saying he's Gerrit Cole. Not saying that. But he got a lot better here. Here's the deal: is Kikuchi got a lot better here because he's got better coaching here. He's got better analysis here. He's got Bagwellitics that he didn't have.
Bagwellitics helps, he
didn't have in Toronto.
That's
okay. But no, he's got some. You know what? All they did was change his curveball usage. And you know what? Here's your better pitches. Throw those.
It really is what they do.
That's
what they did with Hunter Brown. It's really about getting to your best pitches and getting away from ineffective pitches.
Yes.
It's what the Astros have done no matter who the pitching coach is.
Change speeds.
A lot's been made about maybe it's grip and all this. I think it's just when you look at Hunter Brown, it's been strictly, okay, you're going to take these non-effective pitches out of your repertoire and we're going to add the sinker, which is more in line with what you throw as your fastball. You'll just change your grip slightly, and the results have been incredible. And Gerrit Cole was much better as an Astro than he has been as a Yankee or obviously as a Pittsburgh Pirate. Kikuchi, I'm just asking. He's only pitched six games. It's the best he's ever looked ever by a long stretch, from a hits per nine, from a strikeouts per nine, from an ERA, everything. Are we seeing? Is this like a little magical run? And who's to say it can't stay this way?
I'm hoping that this magical run lasts at least through the postseason.
But is there any chance that – there is a chance that he regresses to some type of mean?
Yes, hopefully not. Maybe he learned something here, though. You know what?
Well, other pitchers have, as you mentioned. It's happened with lots of pitchers. Yeah. Wade Miley was better here. I mean, just basic pitchers who have come here, bullpen pitchers – came here and got better. Charlie Morton got better here. I mean, it's a long list of pitchers who have gotten better. Kendall Graveman got better here. Yeah. Like a lot of guys have.
No, it has to do with.
But how long will the
system? It has to do with the system. Larry, you're first up on the other side. We got a break. 713-780-3776. It's not a long one though. Maestro DeBell is what we got to talk about now.
Yeah, Maestro DeBell is such an awesome tequila. And it's a tequila that is made for sipping. Of course, you can have sipping tequilas in any cocktails you like. They're going to take it to another level. But Maestro DeBell is made for discerning palates. It's made for people who really love tequila. So if you're somebody who loves tequila and you've never tried Maestro DeBell, you really are doing yourself a disservice. And if you're somebody who wants to love tequila, you say, I hear a lot of people talk about it. I see it in different cocktails. I've only been a margarita drinker. Hey, I invite you to try their Cristalino. Here's what I want you to do. Grab a bottle of the Cristalino, which is called Diamante. The Cristalino is three different tequilas that are charcoal filtered and then aged and distilled for a certain amount of time that gives it, it's like a creamy, easy to sip tequila that's incredible with just a hint of sweetness on the back end. And it's called, once again, it's called Diamante, which is diamond, and it's the Cristalino type of tequila, and it's made by Maestro DeBell. Maestro DeBell started the Cristalinos, and other people have tried to copy them, but they've never replicated what Maestro DeBell is able to do. Check them out for yourself. go to the website if you want to, and you can go to maestrodobel.com and see all their different tequilas. But stop in wherever you have fine, wherever fine tequilas are sold, and you're going to find my friends from Maestro Dobel.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Larry wants to get in here. We need to get Larry in. Is this Larry in Stafford? No.
Larry's... Yeah, you already know it's Larry in Stafford.
It's Larry in Stafford. We were with Larry last night.
Hey, look here. Before I get into everything, man, just want to thank you and LZ, man, for allowing your boy to get in and get a peek behind the curtain and see how you boys living, man. I figure this is just incentive for me to have to step my game up. So I thank y'all for the pizza and whatever I had in that Yeti, man. It was a good night, man.
I know.
It goes well with
cranberry juice.
Larry had never been an auctioneer before, and he did a great
job.
That's
actually a lot of pressure. That was our 28th straight. We did it the very first year. Me and Sean Pendergast set it up for it because he was a listener at that time. And so we've had Daryl Morey's been in it. Dennis Lindsay's been in it. We've had, a lot of people you wouldn't know, but Wexler's been in it. Adam Wexler mm-hmm. from radio, you, me.
Michael P., Shu.
Yeah.
A bunch of.
So we've had the same auctioneers for about 7 years now. So, Larry, you came in and did a really good job.
They were kids when they started, and now they got kids.
Now they've got kids, yeah. So you did a really good job with it. And it's to me, it's the most fun way to handle fantasy football, because you can really set up your team the way you want to. You got to be smart with money. So I'm surprised more people don't do fantasy auctions personally.
Look, I'm surprised, man, that, you know, I had never even seen a draft done like that. And that was that is a really interesting way of doing it, man, because you're right. You get to set up your squad, man, and there's a certain amount of money you got, and it, once you get down to the dollars left, man, and you're left with not figuring out how to get you some players, man, all of a sudden you're scrambling. But it was a good time, man, and I really do appreciate it, man, because, you know, being in the room with y'all and Ass Man and Eddie and the Monsters and whoever else was in there,
the
man,
B.I.
It's just, yeah, exactly, just getting to see that kind of energy, man. I like it, man. But look, on a couple of things, y'all was talking about them Astros real quick. It's not real hard. Them old school, like Brent Stroms and Pedro Barbon, they believe in your ass. Throw the pitch that your ass can throw and quit throwing all this other silly stuff. And that is what the Astros do, man. They bring your ass into the arena over there, and then they tell you, look here, man, we ain't watched enough video of your ass to know that you need to throw a curveball more than your ass needs to throw that fastball, because they jumping all over that damn fastball. So get your off-speed stuff up to speed and then hit them with the fastball. That's what the Astros preach. That's why all these dudes, like even Hector Neriston, came back, and he didn't look nothing like he did when he was gone. And it's something about when these boys leave H-Town, man, and go to these other squads, they go into a depression because they understand that the Astros are one of those locations where they get your ass right and you got an absolute opportunity to go win a championship. So if you're asking me who I'm going to put my money on, I like me some coochie, but I love me some spaghetti, man. And that spaghetti, I'm going with spaghetti, Eric Getty, man, because all of a sudden him and Hunter Brown are looking like them boys are serious about their craft, man. And they go out there and throw pitches the way that you're supposed to throw pitches, man. So in a series, I think I like spaghetti a little bit better than I like that coochie, even though I'm a big fan of the coochie. Just ask the old lady. But now, having said that.
Yeah, but sometimes you're hungry. Sometimes you want to eat. Yeah, exactly. You want to eat spaghetti.
JD, sometimes you got to eat your little spaghetti, and sometimes you got to eat your anyway, look here. That's why your boy said, never mind. I'm going to let y'all figure out what we're talking about. But look here, man, about them Texans, man. Look, LZ, we've been around this game a long time watching them Oilers and watching these Texans go about doing their business. this alignment with D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio and Panky Ring Cal and a Sexy Hannah and all, we ain't never seen this the kind of alignment, because we had Lad Herzog and whatever that damn Jeff Campbell or whoever was the coach,
Hugh Campbell.
And then we had Buddy Ryan punching Kevin Gilbride. Then we have this silly ass Jack used to be in butt chin Bill O'Brien. This alignment here has me convinced that I need to start really looking at how to book my trip to New Orleans for this thing with Super Bowl number 59. We got the quarterback. We got the offensive line. We got the best defensive coach in the AFC. All these folks talking about, well, the Colts are going to do this to the Texans and all this other crap. D'Amico Ryans is the best defensive coach in the AFC. So I don't give a damn what AR-15 and all them boys come up to. We going to scheme for their ass. Their biggest problem is we got so many weapons on that offensive side, their ass going to be spinning trying to figure out who they going to try to double. I am so excited about this season, man, because this is the first time that your boy is ready to go over there on Kirby and really turn up since Arian Foster and Raiden was back over there in 2012. I was a big Deshaun Watson fan, but that boy wearing number 7 is a different cat, man. So everybody that got all these doubts, man, I'm going to tell you, get your ass on board and meet us over there in them lots, because we may have a Yeti for your ass, too, in our holla.
In our holla.
You know where it is after an auction where Larry's gone. All right, you know, $14 for whoever it was. $14 for, I'm trying to think of a
Lad
random
McConkey.
Name. $10, Lad McConkey. McConkey, the ass man.
Yeah.
And then Pat O'Neill, the ass man, goes, and I'll holla.
And I'll holla.
And I'll holla. Because everyone in there has been sports talk listeners forever, so they all knew who Larry was right off the bat.
Okay, hold on. His premise is that D'Amico is the best defensive mind in the AFC. Better than Spagnuolo?
No. Spagnuolo's the best.
Gus Bradley?
I mean, I like Gus, but what is Gus? Gus is good.
Jim Schwartz?
Schwartz is good. There's some pretty good ones here.
Pretty good ones.
Yeah.
I think Spagnuolo, what he did with the Chiefs last year.
Yeah.
Chiefs were not good offensively last
Spagnuolo's
year. For a long time.
Considered the best.
They won that title with defense.
But, I mean, the hype train on Houston, I feel it too.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a runaway train that's not. It just feels like you added another primary rusher.
I'd be interested to see if they can stop the run Sunday.
What if you don't have to? What if you can 35 to 27 your way out of games?
Well,
but don't break. I mean, that's my contention is that they're going to be one of the highest scoring teams in the league, and they'll be able to win those games where they can't stop people.
Yeah. I guess. I'd really like to play good defense, too.
I mean, most people are going to say, how do we stop Houston's passing game?
Yeah.
I think that's going to be a bigger concern for most teams, because you can scheme your way into stopping a run by you just have to commit more bodies in the box. Are you willing to do that? Usually D'Amico's not really ready to do that. He don't want to play it too crazy. I mean, he's not gonna give you opportunities to hit him with big plays. So I think he'd rather give up 6 yards on the ground than take that away and give you a chance to get 26 yards in the air. So
yeah.
We'll see.
Let me ask you a question. Go back to the Astros, and he was loving some spaghetti. Did you watch the Greg Maddux?
I have not seen it yet.
You gotta watch it.
I know. And I love Maddux.
It's so funny. We weren't all that high on Eric Eddy earlier this season.
Right.
He struggled a little. Do you know how many times Greg Maddux got sent back to the minor leagues after he made it up with the Cubs?
No, and he was a big name going to the Cubs, and he struggled badly his rookie year.
Yeah.
How many times?
Twice. So he was sent down, came back, sent back down again.
He sucked his first year. You know who else wasn't good?
Well, his first month that he came, he was awesome. But that was the end of the season. He was a call-up.
Oh.
And then he went back, and he struggled.
His rookie season, he wasn't good.
And so...
You know who else wasn't? And I remember this. I'm looking up the stats. Tom Glavine wasn't good early on either. Tom Glavine was 7-17, led the league in losses his second year.
We are so different right now that if you don't come up and aren't fantastic. We're done with you.
He was 9-21.
There, how many people said Arrighetti sucks?
Yeah.
He sucks. He can't pitch. We got to get him out of here. Arrighetti's no good. Blah 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 blah. And now he's rookie pitcher of the month last month. You got to give him some time.
Yeah,
what
you really
mean,
do.
Everybody's down. Joey Loperfido sucks. Okay. Man, and now Joey Loperfido strikes out at every level.
John Smoltz is a rookie, 2-7 with a 5.48.
Look at Peyton Manning's rookie year. Peyton Manning was awful. He led the league in interceptions. If you do that now, you can't play. You're awful. Josh Allen's rookie year.
God, you know, it's amazing looking at these Braves where they started. But it's true, though. Maddox, Smoltz, Glavin started off. Glavin had 17 losses the second year. In Atlanta, they thought, this guy stinks.
But they know. You see the stuff.
Yeah.
You see the stuff.
So here is your boy, Arrighetti, second half of the season, because he's pitched 7 games. That's most comparable to Kikuchi. He in his 7 games, he's got a 188 batting average against. He has an OPS of 592 against. He is averaging 9 strike. I'm sorry. Second half of the season, where is it? Strikeout per 9. There it is. 11.8 strikeouts per 9.
That's like, it's almost identical.
Kikuchi was 12.9. Yeah. His whip is 0.97.
Wow. That's just ridiculous. It's,
yeah, 0.97.
This and is his, a rookie.
And his ERA is 2.84. His numbers are very similar to Kikuchi.
Yeah.
Very, very similar.
Yeah.
And when you look at him by the month, just going OPS, 938 first month, then 725, then 808, 774, 554. This is his best.
Which guy is more likely to be effective coming out of the bullpen is the question.
I think it's,
they're going to have to ask in a postseason. That's going to be it. I don't know. We don't know.
I think maybe Arrighetti just because he's a veteran. But I would, but honestly, the way.
Because Kikuchi's a veteran.
I think I would rather have Arrighetti coming out of the bullpen because I think there's more value right now with the way bullpens, how frequently they have to work, and the way the Astros have used their bullpen in the past. I think a guy like Arrighetti could end up having a big impact on a series.
Yeah.
Like, not just with one start. I think he could end up getting into 2 games in a series where he works 2 and maybe 3 innings. If somebody goes, if Justin Verlander were to start and he's out of a game after 4 2/3, guess what? Guess who's coming in to pick up the pieces for at least 2 1/3? It would be a guy like Arrighetti.
You can mirror him with Verlander. You could absolutely do that. Time to talk right
Honestly,
now.
Honestly, I wouldn't even. No one would want to do it, but I'd have him in place of potentially Presley. I'd let him throw, you know, provided he was able to handle it. Why wouldn't I want his arm in there?
They're going to do that. In the eighth inning.
They won't do it, but still.
Time to talk about Allstate siding.
Allstate windows and siding. Allstate windows are made here in Texas. They're made for Texas window, the Texas windows. The Hardy plank, you can get the Hardy plank for your siding really in a variety of colors. Remember that when you have Hardy plank, it's not made of the wood that is on your home. If you have wood on your home, you probably have a home that was built in the 60s, 70s, maybe the 80s, and the wood becomes dilapidated. The amount of water and moisture we have is going to eat away at the wood. It's going to cause problems. You're going to have to make repairs. If you're tired of making repairs, or you just don't like having to paint it all the time because the paint starts cracking, go with the siding from Allstate Windows and Siding. What they'll do is they'll get siding that will, you're not going to have to paint it anymore. It's very easy to clean when you do have to clean it. And on top of that, it's going to make your home look great and it's going to add energy efficiency. So you've got the windows that are going to really add to your energy efficiency and make your home look better. But I don't want to shortchange the siding because that's another way to make your house look terrific. And it's one and done. Once you put that siding on, you are good to go for basically the duration of that home. That's how strong their siding is. Allstate Windows and Siding, big discounts when you tell them you heard about it from ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. That's Allstate Windows and Siding.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Astros and Cincinnati today, 5:40. And
then the 12 seven time, straight.
Seven straight against to the Reds. Those people. And they're not good. We got to beat them. Yeah, they got a lot of nice little young players. But
who's pitching for them today?
Martinez.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
That guy. Yeah, it's a big toe guy. And then Louder tomorrow. Who? Never heard of them. Big toes. If they were on my big toe. Of course, same with Arizona. Arizona's tough now. Arizona's coming here. I like us here against Arizona, but that's a tough team. And Oakland's playing a little ball now. So they're going to get feisty. They're going to be a little feisty team coming in here. So, and we always struggle with Oakland for whatever reason. Always. So there's that. But we got to take care of business in Cincinnati first. The day off in of all places to get a day off. They hadn't had a day off in 18 days, and they get a day off in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
I mean, how horrible is that for our team?
Not great.
No. And now we got 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We got the 9th off. Monday, they got Monday off.
Nick Martinez has been okay. He's been okay. 3.78 ERA. His innings pitched to hits, about the same. But his whip is a 1.13. Not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad. That's probably been their second best pitcher so far this year.
That's fine. But we got Arrigetti and Brown. So eat that. Yeah, so you probably get back to a five-man rotation. And the thought is by Dana Brown, he said it looks like it's going to be Renald Blanco that'll be going to the bullpen. And we could see a Kyle Tucker. Tomorrow afternoon.
Tomorrow could be the Kyle Tucker return.
Right.
That's what it sounds like. It sounds like Kyle Tucker tomorrow. And here, okay, so also I want to clean up. So we talked a little bit yesterday about how, magically now Kyle Tucker had a fracture. And it looks like Dana Brown was not being honest with people when he was just saying it was a bone bruise early on. What Kyle Tucker intimated a little bit, well, he knew that there was. So the question becomes, when did the Astros know it was a fracture? Apparently, the issue was there was so much swelling early on that it couldn't catch the fracture. And it's not a clean break or anything like that. So I guess the Astros might argue that they were not dishonest. They simply didn't know whenever they said that because they had to wait for all the swelling to go down before they saw that. Now, at some point, they saw that there was a fracture, and they never mentioned it publicly.
Hmm.
But early on, when they thought it was a bone bruise, they thought it was because they couldn't see it because of all the swelling. Like, they're unable to see it in the imaging, what was going on. But then Kyle Tucker even said, no, there was, you know, I ended up having a fracture, and the Astros, they haven't really had their feet put to the fire about why did they say it wasn't. I think their answer would be, you know, it at the time, that's what it looked like. It wasn't until later on when tests run. Okay, well, I don't know. Something doesn't sit right with me that they never said that this issue was going to last longer. It's not going to change how long the player's out, but I don't know. As a fan base, you keep expecting him back sooner. I guess it's just inconvenient for the fans who really want to have a good feel to know when their player's going to be back. And, you know, it feels like the Astros at some point had a better understanding and they didn't share it with people.
Mm-hmm.
They just kind of, it was out of sight, out of mind. I don't think that has anything to do with HIPAA. I think it would have been nice for them to say, yeah, Hunter, the injury ended up being a little bit worse than we thought it was going to be, so it's going to take them a little bit longer.
Hmm. Well, I mean, it's a sports team. Who knows how many times they lied to us. I mean, it's what they do. It's what they do. So college football rankings out, Dell. What'd you think of this week's rankings?
I think they're still beholden to their preseason thoughts, which makes you think, why even rank teams until you see them play? They're fine. I mean, Miami jumps up because they had a big win, but, you know, later in the year, that might change because Florida stinks. They may not jump up as high if we have this conversation 4 weeks from now. Florida's still terrible. Georgia Tech's now in the top 25 because they beat a team who's no longer in the top 25. It's all reactionary to what they thought. I'm glad they've responded and pushed USC up higher than where they had them. But who's to say USC should have been 13 period from the start or wherever they are now?
So it's Georgia, Ohio State, Texas, Alabama, Notre Dame, Ole Miss, Oregon. Oregon looked bad.
It was an odd game for
them. Although Dylan Gabriel threw the ball well.
Yeah,
Offensive line stunk, and they're being forced to wear jerseys. Yeah. Have you seen this?
They're not being forced to. They chose to. What do you mean forced to?
Oh, they chose to wear those?
Yeah, it's their home uniforms. What do you mean
wasn't the O-line coach? I'm talking about the practice.
Oh.
What they're wearing in practice right now. Here, I got to pull it up. Here, Elite Terry.
What are they being forced
Elite
to do?
Elite Terry was wearing a shirt that says 2.9 yards per carry dash Idaho. The offensive line coach is making them wear that on their jerseys where they put the amount of yards per carry they had against
Idaho.
Well,
they had some O-line injuries, so they weren't
2.9 yards against Idaho rushing the
ball. They were against Idaho, though.
Yeah, understood, but that's not
their backup.
That's
be
not
better.
We talk about this all the time, and we say this. Well, Florida State should be not getting run over by Boston College and Georgia Tech. We don't know until we know. But Oregon's backups did not play well. When they get some of their guys back, we'll see what they are as far as their full team and how they get into the Big Ten. But it was a weird game because Dylan Gabriel had big numbers. They couldn't convert in the red zone. But he didn't turn the ball over. I think they only had one turnover in the game. So you look at the numbers,
he had a good game.
And you don't understand how they could only wind up with 17 points until late in the game where they put one more touchdown on. So they fall. I mean, I get it. They're playing Idaho, but if you run through the Big Ten, they'll be fine.
Well, it's what we see with our human eyes. Are you happy? With Miami at 12?
Elite Terry's the O line.
Sure, but it's game one of what they hope is a very long season. I'll care about where people are ranked 6 weeks from now when we have like an actual real sample size about why they play how they played. If Florida's absolutely terrible, then you think to yourself, that's what you should have done, and thankfully you did it. And, you know, with all these teams, particularly Miami, can you consistently perform that way week after week? That proves if you're a real good football team.
I mean, we're week one.
Yeah.
We got to find out about guys, find out about teams.
The highest rated Big 12 team is Utah at 11.
Can you imagine if we actually had no ratings, if they banned ratings until
banned
the fifth? Yeah, said no ratings can come out until the fifth week of the season.
Rankings?
I mean, or ratings?
Yeah, rankings. And then you truly had a jump-off point where everyone got a cleaner start, a cleaner idea, because you are up against it. I mean, you can only go a certain amount of spots because somebody else is ahead of you. How about if you literally started from scratch and said, these look like the best teams after 5 weeks? I mean, you know, and the reason it has a little bit of an impact is because it can have an impact on the perception, can have an impact on where teams are for playoffs. Although with 12, it's not as big a deal. Let me clean up some. We've got a lot of Dustin and Childish Altuve are big. They believe in a government being able to silence the critics of the government. They said, as a fan, I could care less what teams say about injuries. In fact, I wish they weren't allowed to say anything at all. They'll be back when they're back. That could also read, as a minister of information, I could care less what fans think about injuries. They're back when they're back. If I read this in Russian voice, I could care less what fans say about injuries. In fact, I wish they weren't allowed to say anything at all. They'll be back when they're back. That's Dustin. This is his belief.
Yeah.
Then Childish Altuve says, I'm praying for all of those impacted by the misdiagnosis of Kyle Tucker's leg.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're praying for us.
I don't care. They lie to us all the time, you got to realize
I think it's just a waste of time for the people who have to answer the questions if you're not telling the truth. Because if Dana Brown has to go up there and go, well, September this or September, just, hey, he's got a fracture. We expect him to be a long-term
injury.
Well,
that would have been a step in the right direction.
I think it's just more of a waste of time for them to have to dance around this as opposed to just Yeah, say just what it answer. Is.
And then the embarrassment of being caught in a lie.
And you have to, oh, I'm sorry about that. It's actually going to be September 7th. No, I thought you said August. No, wrong. Just say it and then move on. It's not a question every time you show up publicly.
And speaking of, we've been talking about the pitchers, Kikuchi, Eric Geddy, and how good they've been. And you know, the pitching coaches are known affectionately as the law firm. As far as the law firm goes, one question I've got, how'd they make Kikuchi pop? So that is a question. How did they make Kikuchi pop?
Who are they asking that of, us or?
How did they make Kikuchi pop? That's the question. Pop, you can Kikuchi. Answer it.
You answer the question.
You're the only pop, person Kikuchi. Here that can answer.
Pop, how can I answer that Kikuchi. Question?
You push the button.
Abigail.
And do what?
Abigail
yeah,
would.
If we had Abigail back, boy, Abigail what a show we'd have.
You have.
What a show
what a
we'd
show
have.
We
you
have
pulled that you pulled that yesterday and it had no effect.
Yeah. 8:45 ESPN.
Y'all remember when Abigail was back there and she would play Pop yeah. Kikuchi?
Pop.
Yeah,
Kikuchi.
What a great
yep.
moment in the show's history. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. We had way more viewers.
It'll be,
we had well, way more
viewers
well,
than we
you know what
on.
Would benefit you guys greatly if you guys got off the screen, period, and just put Sam and Abigail in there. You had great
you know what? That would.
Yeah, just get off
it
the screen.
It absolutely would.
Yeah.
But 100%. It worked last week when she was sitting in that
and
chair.
And you know, it would work even better if none of us were here and it was just them.
It actually would work better. But you know what else works better? F-150.
F-1 racing.
The F-1 racing. Not F-150. That's a truck. And so this is totally different. It's going to be F1 vehicles, and it's going to be at RedBull.com Showrun Houston. This is where you can go to get all the information you need. You know, F1 cars are coming here. The Red Bull F1 vehicles are coming. It's a pop-up event that's going to be at Discovery Green on September 7th. And this is for all ages. Anybody that wants to come out can come out. There's no tickets. It's ticketless. So all you have to do is migrate downtown to Discovery Green. You're going to be there, and all of a sudden you're going to feel the energy of the vehicles. You're going to see how sleek the design are, what they look like. You're going to hear the noise. It's going to be awesome, and you get to experience it for yourself. It's not an F1 race, so it's going to be an exhibition, but they're going to be running them in the streets, so you're going to get a feel for what it's like there, and there's going to be stuff for everyone. They have a DJ booth where you can actually spin records. They are going to have food trucks out there for you. There's going to be photo opportunities with these vehicles. They're even going to have simulators for you to see exactly what it's like to be in a simulator and handle one of these F1 vehicles. So cool, and it's all without a ticket. You just get on out there and experience it for yourself. September 7th, for more information, it's downtown at Discovery Green. For more information, just go to the website, redbull.com/showrunHouston. That's redbull.com/showrunHouston.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Josh Pate joining us in less than 10 minutes here, talking college football with one of the foremost authorities in the world.
Can I just say about this is not our team, but Brandon Ayuk, you know, we know Brandon Ayuk has been loud about his contract. He finally got a contract done. And Brandon Ayuk, when asked Tuesday if he and the Niners can move past the back and forth that led to the 4-year, $120 million contract extension, Ayuk acknowledged the role he played in extending the negotiations. Quote, I'm not going to lie. I made it a little bit more difficult than it needed to be at the end. He said in his first comments, I mean, it was like that for me. I'm not going to say the whole entire time, but for about the past month, I think we were pretty good. Why is he admitting to being an a-hole in this? I don't get it. Like, it's more likely to get you traded than to get you a new deal. Why would he say he made it harder than it had to be? Why would you do that? You're a valuable part of the team. You ended up getting paid. Trent Williams got paid.
I think a lot of it with him, CD, Jamar.
I know it's just receivers.
I don't want to go through training camp, you know.
Well, but he even said some of the things he said made it more difficult. Because remember, he was on a stream. What did he say, Dell? Do you remember? He was on a stream saying they didn't even want him.
And he was talking a lot about how good it would be to play for other teams. Like, yeah. He was interested. So he made it clear. It wasn't very quiet. Like, Ja'Marr Chase hasn't done that. Ja'Marr Chase isn't publicly courting other teams.
Yeah.
Like Ayuk did.
Wiping off the bio, doing that whole.
Yeah, and I did see – I wasn't here, but I saw that according to reports that he got the same money he would have gotten no matter what. Like, I guess the 49ers wanted out there that we didn't come off our initial offer. He just came around to what we were offering and he accepted it. That's what I saw last week.
Yeah. He just was being – like, he just even admitted I was being an a-hole. And? I probably didn't have to be, but I was. Like, I just – I don't understand. I guess I just don't understand the
idea.
Well,
if somebody's going to give you millions and millions and hundreds of million dollars, you got to be an a-hole.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense to some extent. Mean, but I just – at some point, you're going to piss off some of your teammates, I would think. At some point.
I don't know.
Because they're playing. It's one thing if you're on a team.
Well, it's over now. The drama's over. You know?
Well, the drama's over unless he doesn't play well.
Well, right.
And then people always will hold it against the
And I hold it. Okay.
CeeDee Lamb.
These three guys. CeeDee Lamb, Ja'Marr Chase, Brandon Ayuk. How many of them have a soft tissue injury?
I'm going to say none.
I'm going to say at least one.
And they're going to take
Ja'Marr Chase even going to play week one?
How about this drama with 2 years left on a deal? How about this drama?
Not showing up to practice one day, then not making your coach look silly because he thought you were going to practice, and you're not going to play week one?
I mean, goodness gracious.
Like, if he's not on the field today, he's not playing. If he's not practicing today, is he playing? Unless they give him his money, which the Bengals don't seem like they want to do, at least not right now.
I mean, I don't want him. You know what? And it's a fantasy thing, but I didn't want any of these guys. I did not want one of these guys on my team because, first of all, I think we've seen it time and again when you have the drama that you have in the preseason without the practice, you see injuries or you see ineffectiveness out of guys. We've seen it before that they don't live up to the contract.
This is what Justin Jefferson, his teammate from LSU, said. He said, I hope he gets the contract he's looking for, but I also hope – that he plays to smart and not let it get in the way of, you know, his greatness and being on the field, he said to Kay Adams. He said, quote, I mean, it's always congratulations. It's always love, especially on my end, about my brothers that are making good in this league and making a name for themselves. We always talked about that in the receiving room at LSU, saying that we were able to be on that same platform as some of the top guys that were in the league while we were watching the film at LSU. So to see it all come to life, and for us to fulfill our dreams is definitely heartwarming. But I think that his initial point is worth making. I mean, there's going to be two things, money and legacy, that you will take out of your career. The money is a guarantee for him. It's just a matter of the timeline. The money is a guarantee. There is no timeline other than a career-ending injury that would change the money for Ja'Marr Chase. It'll be game-changing, life-changing. It'll potentially be generational wealth for a family to come. What is at stake is legacy. And legacy is not defined by, you know, holding out. I'm not saying that you're not, you know, you're going to, a hold in, I should say, is not going to ruin your legacy. But you don't want to be the guy that, as you mentioned, John, you're not physically ready. You end up getting hurt. You end up, because Joe Burrow and the Bengals have a certain amount of time that they can play at the high, you know, they have a chance to win at the highest level. And ultimately, you are going to be judged. I mean, if it matters, this generation, all they do is give me your top five. That's all they do. Give me your top five. Who's your top five receivers? And eventually the arguments come down to, it goes stats, but then it's trumped by championships or playing at the highest level. And Ja'Marr Chase got in a Super Bowl one time. I mean, he's really, really good. The money's inevitable. That's why I don't understand hurting your team when the money it's an inevitability. It's just somewhere on the timeline. You want it to be faster on the timeline, but it's not really how it works in the NFL. You can't speed that timeline up.
No. It's just drama. Drama! Come, just get in there and play. Let's go. Josh Pate joining us on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, I'm talking about my man Kent Jones over at Dream Rate Mortgage. This guy's going to work his tail off for you, okay? He has been doing this for 30 years in the city of Houston, right around that, okay? He is going to find you the best loan for you. He is going to save you thousands and thousands of dollars, not only at signing, but through the life of the contract. What kind of qualifications do you have? He's going to delve deep into it to see what kind of loan he can get you, VHA, VA, or Fannie Mac, Fannie Mae, whatever they are, all of them. Okay, he has got a wealth of knowledge to learn from. And here's the deal: he's going to work his tail off for you. He says, "I'm not taking more than eight or so clients at a time because I want to be able to give them the attention." They're not giving you that attention when they put their name on a bowl game. All you are is a number. They don't care. They're going to get you the mortgage that they can get you, and that's it. Be gone. Be gone with you, and now we got your money. That's not the way Kent Jones does it. Kent Jones cares, okay? And he's going to care for you, and he's going to work his tail off to get you the best loan that he can possibly get you. 713-520-5626, 713-520-LOAN, 975loans.com. He will give you a scenario quote. If you just call him and ask him, hey, we've got this much money down, it costs this much, what are we going to be paying? 713-520-LOAN or 975loans.com.
DreamRate Mortgage, LLC, NMLS number 248-2473. Jaken Jones, NMLS number 356118. Equal housing lender.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You're due for your biannual cleaning, something you usually forget and would rather not remember. But you just got a reminder from the Gentle Dentist in Worthington. Call 614-431-3311.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.